This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
It's Daniel Bard. It's
Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
I hope everybody's having a great day. We're having a great day at Baseball Isn't Boring. Every day is a great day. You know what's awesome? Seeing the reaction from people when they see the Baseball Isn't Boring brand, seeing the stickers, the t-shirts, the hats, whatever. Yeah, I got hats now. And just seeing the reaction and just walking up maybe to somebody and they're like, you're right. Baseball isn't boring. Yes, that is the idea. And it's always great to have that interaction. It just is. It's great to have the interaction anytime anyone mentions the podcast. It just is. And as we march toward the other regular season debuts, you know, we obviously have the Dodgers and the Cubs, and we're going to get to those. We're going to get to those games. Alonzo, West Coast bias, going to be dropping his reflections on those games over in Japan. We'll be there ready for you on Friday morning. But as we go into these games, as we find these tick off the last days and minutes of spring training, heading into opening days, it's time to reflect, it's time to observe, it's time to educate about the last days of spring training. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. What is it like in the last days of spring training? I'm still boots in the ground here. And boots to the ground means observing what is going on around baseball in camps. And I'm obviously in Fort Myers, and I'm observing the final days, the final week, how people are reacting. You have cuts. You have people who are in the clubhouse who are maybe a little nervous. People who are acting a lot differently than maybe even a couple of weeks ago when spring training's everything's great, right? Everything is great. Everybody's in a good mood. Everything's great. Well, I was doing the broadcast, and in case people don't know, I did probably about 17 the Red Sox radio broadcasts this spring. Always a good time. Nobody's watched more spring training baseball than me, I think. But we had Jim Leland, Hall of Fame manager Jim Leland, come up. And I want to share with what he said in terms of one of the most difficult or one of the most important parts of managing that Earl Weaver told him. And I thought this was awesome. It's about tearing the Band-Aid off. All right, here's Jim Leland.
If you try to mislead a player a little bit because it's a tough conversation, you know, you lose them forever. If you tell them the truth, you lose them for one day and it's over with, and you go on and your friendships start, your relationships continue to build, and it normally always works out for the best. The old honesty is the best policy. There's a lot of truth to that.
I mean, how can you not listen to that? Facts. Facts. Also, as the teams get ready to make these decisions, I also have the image of, like, the Hard Knocks. Everybody in the room, everybody pound the table for the guy that you want, and we're going to make the ultimate decision after everyone makes their case. Really, it's not like that. We earlier this week, talking to Mike Hazen, obviously GM of the Arizona Diamondbacks, I asked him about that. I asked him, well, what is it like when you have to talk to others in the organization to decide whether or not a guy's or guys are going to make the team? Do you get around in a circle and say, everybody make the case for the relief pitcher? Evidently not. All right. Here's what Mike had to say. I would imagine you get in a, there has to be the one sort of big end of spring training. All right, we have final roster decisions. You get everyone in the room. You get Tori in the room, Amia, all these people in the room. And what's that like? Like, is it like Hard Knocks?
I try not to do it that way, honestly.
Oh, really?
I try to do it. Yeah, I try to do it more in one-off conversations with coaches, with Tori. Tori talks to the coaches, getting their thoughts as we go through spring training. I don't like the meeting setup because I feel like there can be groupthink. Guys can get swayed by what other people say. So I'd rather do it individually and get their real feelings without hearing what other people have to say and factor in some of the dynamics that way. I it's more productive for me because I feel like, you know, let's take the last reliever in the pen. Like, it can get moving in a direction because, you know, he's had a couple good innings against this in the seventh or eighth inning against the minor league club. And it's, yeah, it happened. We saw it. But we also have to remain disciplined to what we think and thought coming in and the track record and where have they been in these situations before. We're going out there to win on day one. We need to put the best squad out there possible. So I like to handle it more in much smaller groups, and have other people get people's input and opinions that way.
Again, really educational, insightful, informative, and entertaining stuff. That's our goal, by the way. Speaking of which, never disappoints. Adam Ottavino never disappoints. And you know when it's doubly not disappointing? When I walk out, when he's nice enough to walk out from the clubhouse all around the ballpark, JetBlue Park, and walk out to the L.L. Bean Bootmobile. Yep, it's our second Bootmobile podcast where we just set up a couple chairs and we sit in front of the big boot, which happens to have wheels on it. And this one, this conversation has to do with what we're talking about, where you want to know what this last week of spring training is like for these players. I can tell you what it's like for the media. It's sort of, all right, you know, you're trying to figure out who's cut, who's not on the team. You know, the newsy stuff gets more important. You're trying to decipher rosters, all of that. For the players, they're sitting there. They're also trying to decipher rosters. Sometimes they're asking the media what's going on. But don't rely on me. Rely on Adam. Adam is so good about articulating what it is like for the last week of a spring training. Now, in case you don't know, Adam Ottavino right now is a non-roster invitee for the Red Sox, trying to make the Red Sox as one of their relief pitchers. And he's had a pretty good camp. Probably should feel pretty good about himself, but you just never know. So we walked out, got a couple of chairs, sat in front of the boot. You're going to hear some guy walks by, say, give me a size 9, give me that car in a size 9. All right, great. Also, we kick it off, because we're in front of the L.L. Bean boot, about just talking about, you know, foul weather gear, having your parents have to weather the storms. I love that conversation. We did a little bit with Julie McWilliams the other day. And Adam talks about his dad having L.L. Bean blanket and being the guy with the L.L. Bean blanket. So anyway, it's a really fun conversation in front of the boot. And I hope everybody enjoys. I hope everybody's having a great day. I hope everybody's going to have a great week. And then as we head into opening day, a great opening day. Thank you, everybody. @BB isn't boring. Here is the Bootmobile interview with Adam Ottavino. All right, there's no human being I'd rather be talking to right now in front of the Bootmobile LLB.
It's beautiful.
Is this your, Adam Ottavino, is this your first time you've ever done a podcast in front of
a giant moon on wheels?
As far as I can remember, yes.
All right. see what your career leads you. Isn't this awesome? I mean, this is it's a beautiful day.
It is.
It's, you know, sometimes you have to break off from the monotony of playing the great game of baseball to just walk around the stadium and then run into a booth and you can get to talk in front of that booth.
Yeah,
good day, right?
It is a beautiful day, yeah.
So, speaking of, it made me think, like, this L.L. Bean deal, and I wanted to talk to you about this because I always like the conversation about being a kid from the Northeast. Because one of the things that I think that people should appreciate are parents who have to watch their kids play in the Northeast,
yes.
Kids who have to play in the Northeast, and with different elements. And I'm not even talking about in the winter. I'm talking about when you get to April and baseball. We have we're sitting here. I mean, you're going to get like 7 of these days in the Northeast.
Yeah, yeah.
So what do you remember about coming up as that kid? First of all, before I compare it to when you got to play with other guys who weren't from the Northeast, but to go to sort of like your parents following you around and that whole
thing. Yeah, I mean, I was an only child. I am an only child. So my parents were there every step of the way. I mean, my dad coached a lot of my teams, and then he was at all my college games, particularly at home. My mom's been there every step of the way as well. So they've dealt with every single weather condition possible for baseball. You know, 8 a.m. games when you're really little, all the way through, you know, fall games that are freezing cold, everything. And my dad in college was known for wearing like a big L.L. Bean blanket like around his whole body and like trying to find a place in the crowd that had like good vibes, good energy that he could send me. And he looked kind of like a monk or something, so people would always comment on his appearance. But you know, he had to stay warm, you know, so he was just trying to put good vibes out there and stay warm at the same time.
I mean, it is, people don't understand this, is that when, let's say that we're here, when spring training is bizarre because it's the times are reversed, right? You're getting here at, I see you at Starbucks at 7:30. You're not probably taking Starbucks at 7:30 during the season. The times are all mixed up. The weather is, this is the epitome of the best weather you're going to get in baseball. And then you get dropped into baseball. Like, guys, when they get to regular season, you must have some guys who are like, I can't play baseball. This is
totally. Yeah.
What's that dynamic like?
Anybody who grew up in the South or in, like, you know, an island or something, or South America, you know, they tend to...
Who is the worst? Who is the worst? Who is the guy that you're like, he's not going to be able to function?
Well, I remember in Colorado, Carlos Gonzalez, you know, Venezuelan guy, he definitely did not like the cold, like, at all. He was always looking for some sort of tips, like, hey, you guys, you got some tips for me? Like, what do? Do I rub Vaseline all over my body? Like, how do I do? How do I keep the heat up?
You're not swimming the heat.
How do I stay warm? But honestly, the major league guys, for the most part, you know, by the time the game starts, you know, they just put it out of their mind. You know, they've been through it at one step or the other, minor league, something. I think the biggest advantages I ever saw was in college, like playing at Northeastern. We would play a team from like Virginia or North Carolina. They would come up to Boston for a series. They were definitely out of sorts, and we could use that to our advantage for sure.
What is the coldest game you remember playing in?
So it's two that stand out. Only one of them I pitched in. It was, so we played a doubleheader against the Mets in Colorado. Now it was May, so it was a little weird, but it dumped about a foot and a half, 2 feet of snow.
Yeah.
So we got snowed out one day, and the next day they were determined to play. So everybody got together and shuffled the field off, and we ended up playing a doubleheader. Sure enough, I pitched like the ninth inning of the second game. And I think it was in the 20s.
Really?
So 30s, you know, I played plenty of games in the upper 30s into the 40s, but the 20s was a little different. I remember I could barely feel my hand between pitches. I was trying to, like, look for some place to hide it, to keep it warm, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Got through that inning, but the other one I remember was in college. We played a midweek game against Boston College with Northeastern, and it had to be low 20s. And after, like, the second inning, both coaches looked at each other and just decided, like, we should not be here.
Really?
Yes. That was the coldest day that I was like, there's just no way you can
lose. It's like, it's, again, when you, and then you get dropped in professional baseball with a bunch of guys in Dominican or South Florida, whatever it is. It's like, dude, like, you don't understand how good. could you have it?
Yeah, yeah, no, not at all. They have no idea.
No, and the other part of that, too, is the ability to play baseball. Like, this is a very probably in-depth conversation, but to make it as a Northeast kid, and maybe it's a little bit easier now, I don't know. You're like, you have better facilities, but when you were coming up, it was probably like, I got to throw in the parking lot, slush or whatever it is. I don't know.
Yeah.
Compared to other guys.
Well, I mean, you practice inside all the way up to your first game, so it's just a totally different experience. You know, lack of room to long toss, or so you even wear your cleats and just get comfortable wearing cleats again. You know, all that is very real. But I also think that there was a little bit of like a built-in fear of the, you know, you would worry a little bit about, you know, maybe like, I'm not getting enough good competition here, or I'm not getting the development I need. Meanwhile, these guys in Florida and Texas are playing year round, and there's a little bit of a worry about that growing up. Like,
yeah, that in a nine.
How will I do? You know, you know, how will I do when I have to face those guys? But you know, you find out that it's still just the same game. You know, obviously there's adjustments to be made always, but yeah, that initial like come up where it's not as common to, you know a ton of kids that are going to go to Division One or play, get drafted and things like that. It's a little bit of a different dynamic.
So now we get this morph into, we talk about morphing from spring training to the regular season. Weather, the one thing, waking up, Starbucks runs are different. Everything's different. But for you, like, this is a little bit different for you this year, just because you're trying to make the team as a non-roster guy, which is a first, right? First mm-hmm. for you. As we head into these last few days, I know that everyone says, I'm just going to do my thing. Like, I have my routine and do this. But has it felt different at all? Have you been able to sort of keep sort of the same mindset that you did before?
I tried my best. I mean, it's tough because spring training is not, it's always a time for me where I'm re-figuring things out, you know, because everybody wants to look at the past, but you have to make a new every year, you know, like, who am I going to be this year? What's my vibe going to be this year? How am I going to pitch this year? How am I going to get guys out? And I think in spring, there's a lot of trial and error that goes on with that. And I think one thing that's important for me every spring is to pitch really poorly at least one time, because that fundamentally changes your brain into like, oh, this is like not easy, and I need to make sure I'm dotting every I and crossing every T, and really focus from pitch one. And you know, I got that outing out of the way luckily this year, but yeah, I mean, that's important. It's important because now I'm in the mindset of like more of like game mindset. I have two more outings of spring, and I'm just thinking about throwing strike one to that first guy and all the proper things you should be thinking about. But you almost have to relearn that mental approach every year, and sometimes spring training, because it feels so, you know, laissez-faire early on, it can be a trap a little bit.
Is it difficult not to say, watching me, what are my measurements, like every single time? Because that's another big difference, right?
It's
every single thing you do is not only watched, but it's also measured.
Yeah,
more than ever, right?
Yeah, I think I've lamented this a little bit the last few spring trainings. Is it just feels so immediate the moment you know, get your cleats in the dirt, that they want to see like your best out of you right away. And it's just maybe not realistic to expect that, especially for a guy like me. You know, like, I need to slowly ramp on for the year. And so yeah, it's tough because you do want to impress people, but at the same time, I think I only really felt that internal worry about that maybe for the first week or two, just because you're getting acclimated again, and then at a certain point you're like, you know what, I am who I am, and I just need to focus on being the best version of me, and we'll see how this shakes out. And I probably can't squeeze it too hard, you know. I don't think that's the right approach either. So I guess you try to stay even keel.
But you did. I mean, like you said, you did that one outing, went that past that, then you're like, okay, now I'm just back to doing my thing, which you did.
Yeah.
So congratulations.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, but sometimes you just need to feel it. You need to feel that failure again to remember what you don't want to feel. You know? And that's just, unfortunately, that's just the way the game goes.
Well, and this is sort of the last thing is that as you, we talk about spring training leading up to it, last week leading up to it, these last few days, it's everybody.
guys, because I remember being a younger guy and being up and down from AAA, and you're living and dying with every decision made in spring training, and that's just the reality of it. You know, it feels like a big deal to not make the opening day roster or to get sent somewhere, even though that could change in a week. It feels like a failure or a success, right? And I think now that I'm older, I've been able to detach from that a little bit, because it's like I've had my career for the most part here. Like, baseball's given everything to me, and I'm more than grateful for it, whether I get to pitch another inning or not. So I've been able to kind of detach from that pressure, but I can relate to the younger guys. Like, I know exactly what they're feeling, trying to play GM in their heads, and I know exactly what that feels like. And it is walking on eggshells a little bit, and you do have a lot of subconscious activity going on. You know, it's a little bit of an emotional situation, but
you don't want to be the guy. Listen, you don't want to be the guy packing in the middle of everyone. You don't want to be the guy walking out. You know, why everyone's working out. I mean, it sucks. Yeah. But to your point, opening day is such a bizarre thing. Like, it's one thing that, hey, I'm going to make the team and stay in the organization. But opening day is such a bizarre thing because it changes.
Yeah.
Like, 2 weeks.
Yeah. It's totally different. I mean, everything about spring training is so different than the regular season, and it's so hard to remember that when you're in spring training. Yeah. You know, it feels like it's either going to be a massive success or a massive failure, and it's all based off these fake games that don't even really mean anything. And then, you know, in the season, you know, it's all about getting outs and getting wins for the team. And over here, because, like, you're even talking about judging, like, your movement and your velocity and all that, like, the goalposts, that's kind of the finish line. Like, in spring training, is like impressing people with these metrics and your performance. But then you realize, like, in the season, what matters is just getting the guys out and finishing innings and helping the team win and, you know, getting to the next day and the next day and eventually the playoffs. So it is two totally different, you know, mindsets. And because I've been through it enough, I understand that this isn't really the be-all and end-all for anybody. And so when somebody does ask me about, you know, perspective on things, I am able to help them a little bit. But, you know, guys get called up this first day of the season, second day of the season.
Right.
So this isn't like a life or death situation here. This is just a for now, and you keep working, you know.
Well, just remember when you think about after you immediately when this is over, it's like, I can't believe you made me sit there and sweltering sun. How much you would want the sweltering sun to win your league, so.
I know, it's true. Although I kind of like the cold, because I think the hitters are more miserable than the pitchers. Like, I warm up, I'm warm.
Yeah.
Pitchers got to stay out there in the outfield. So I'll take the cold for a while. I don't like the super duper hot day in the middle of the summer. That's a tough one.
Yeah, I can't understand that. All right, well, congratulations. You aced your first Oatmeal podcast.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you.